Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. Please welcome the brilliant and talented Ayumi Shinozaki!
I am Ayumi, from a far off place, with Jack and Miles hosting TDZ. And Side Gang will hear a pod that's second rate. Ooh. And Anna saying, this is why you all should stream. Come again. Today, I also host a podcast. Order art from me. I'll ship it to your door. Back on Daily Zeit. Talking trends, that's right. I'm on Zoom with Jack and Miles, right where I belong.
Woo!
Wow.
Look at that.
Slow Did clap you? With a single tear.
Yeah, that was by The Brew over on Zycord.
The Brew.
Wow.
Damn.
Okay, Brew, Brew.
We see beautifully you. Performed with heart.
Yeah. What's new? How you living? Yeah, What's new? How's the weather in Japan? I haven't been in 3 years because of everything, so I have to keep asking you. How is it there?
Well, weather-wise, it's been a little back and forth. September has not decided whether or not it's going to be fall yet. Mm-hmm. So it's been a little wild. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're in the middle of some, I guess, political stuff, because Suga's going to be our current prime minister, who was appointed by Prime Minister Abe last year, mm-hmm. when he quit because he couldn't, well, he said it's for his health, but he said he couldn't really handle all the criticism for his reaction to COVID. Basically, mm-hmm. but now Suga is the one who's stepping down. So everyone's talking about who the government's going to appoint a new prime minister, and maybe we'll get an election. It's still not clear.
Right. That's what it's. Are things about to kick off there too, like campaigns and things, pretty soon?
Well, they're saying if there is an election, it'll be in October. But everything has been like maybe. I don't know why.
Oh.
So they might just put someone up in this position again, just like last year, which is not great because it's already been pretty bad and It's going to still stay right wing. We might get our first female prime minister, who is basically a fusion of Margaret Thatcher and Nancy Reagan. So,
oh, and you love to see that.
Yeah,
especially in a changing world right now, we need more people who are who want to conserve the old way.
Yes.
terrible fucking recipe.
Pretend it's the 80s. That'll work, I'm sure. In some way.
That's what COVID deniers want to do. Like, it's 2018.
There you go.
It's got to keep up. I know it's tough. I know things are moving quick, but that's the challenge of living in this era.
Mm. And you guys were talking before we started recording, you're both sipping on the same beverage.
Mugicha. Yeah.
Yes.
Mugicha.
Yeah, mugicha. Yeah. Cha is
barley
like tea.
Barley tea.
But yeah, mugi, yeah. That barley tea is so easy to make. You can just throw your tea bag in your little, you know, pitcher or whatever for a couple hours, then it's just gold. And it's very healthy. And
then you put a bunch of ice in it and just slam it.
No, I mean, I keep it in my refrigerator so it comes out cold. You know what I mean?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But it's also got health benefits, you know, antioxidants and vitamins. It's good for your digestion.
And a bunch of caffeine, right? That'll like just fucking fuel you. Just
nah,
get you.
None of that. Sorry, Jack.
Huh? Why is it so popular, bro?
Wait, well, so what does it do?
Wait, like, so what does it do for me? Like, how does it take me out of self so that I just don't feel anything?
No, for me, I think of like being in Japan, because this is just something that was always in the refrigerator at like any of my family members' houses, especially in the summer. So yeah. When the weather's warm, I love to bust out that mugicha. And I tell people, if you like something that's like water, it's not, there's no sugar or anything like that. It's not acidic, you know, just have a little of that, you know?
Yeah.
Good for you.
It's almost like a more gentle water, like, because the barley taste is like so subtle that it almost replaces like any aftertaste that water might have.
Yeah, no, for sure.
It's really nice.
Yeah, definitely.
Emily, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Something from my search history is so embarrassing, but I've been talking about poppers on stage and I realized I didn't know what poppers were. So I was like, I need to like know what I'm saying, you know, just as like, I don't know, a courtesy to the audience. Because I've been talking about Lexapro as my poppers. And now I realize that doesn't make sense. Because poppers are not little tiny pills that you pop. Like, you know, I didn't know how people, because I'm a little nerd, you know, I'm like, I don't know how people do drugs.
Right.
So I had to look up poppers and where to get them and how to get them and
give them a try, right?
And now I gotta give them a try. Now I know you can get them at a bodega or something. Poppers.
This is so funny.
I thought they were just pills. You just pop them.
Yeah, I thought that's why they were called poppers.
And then I had a bag full of poppers at the movies the other night, and it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
To clarify, because I feel like I only just learned what poppers are. There's something you like inhale, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they get you high blood. And also loosen your muscles, including your butthole
sphincter.
Muscle.
Your little butthole. Yeah.
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 That's so nice.
Wait, did you have a moment where someone was like, do you know what poppers are?
No, I always do this. Do you guys, do you do this? And I start talking about something for a while and then I realize I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. And then I'm like, oh, I should Google that for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, we do. It's called this podcast.
It's called listening to it.
Nobody stopped me. Nobody told me, Emily, what are you talking about? They were just like, let her carry on. She will figure it out eventually.
Or did they just think? Wait, oh, I'm sorry. How are you using it in context again? I'm trying to even see if someone could
her poppers. So
yeah, I was talking about like depression on stage. But you know, like I have seasonal depression 4 times a year. And then like, oh, Lexapro. I'm on, you know, Lexapro. I do poppers. I call it Lexapro or something like that. And
right.
It just didn't.
It's one of those drugs that gets your head scratching, though. You're like,
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
So maybe she knows something I don't.
Lexapro. Yeah. Or like what? It's a metaphorical relaxation of the sphincter that occurs.
There are so many people who went home after one of your stand-up sets and tried anal on Lexapro and had, you know,
mixed results.
Interesting experiences. Who knows?
Oh, I hope they... I mean, that's really bad because if you start Lexapro, I mean, this is gross,
right.
But you're going to poop a lot. You know?
Oh. Hey,
you know,
because not on Lexapro.
I didn't even...
What? What is so that?
No, I'm on poppers, man. What are you talking about? Poppers are my Lexapro.
What's something you think is overrated?
You know, I was going through my list of overrated things, which is alphabetical, and I got two for you. I don't know if we'll agree on the first one, but I think the Met Gala this year struck me as kind of disassociated from the world. And I felt bad because I love museums, but I was like, there's a lot of other shit going on, you know, and there's so much money involved in this. And could that money go somewhere else? So maybe it's just me being a curmudgeon. I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Like, I don't want to be, people should do what they want with their money, I guess, you know, and it's kind of high-roading folks to say like, oh, how much did that cost? Blah, 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 blah. And I loved the AOC dress, tax the rich. Right.
Right.
And there was another one we were talking about earlier that what was that? There was another.
Cara Delevingne Peg the Patriarchy.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That one. But I don't know. I felt like maybe there was a disconnect. It felt a little like Hunger Games-y with all the stuff people have been through.
Absolutely. I feel like the Met Gala is always, you know, when the like most wealthy like are like, okay, this is where we get to dress up like the Capitol in Hunger Games.
Yeah, let's do, it's called 1% or Halloween.
Yeah, exactly.
And it happens in New York every year. It's not for poor people because you can't afford a $40,000 ticket or whatever it costs. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's, you know, everyone's trying to do what they can do. Mm-hmm. Some things seem meaningful, other things, like, you know, at the same time, like, I'm just, me personally, I'm not as interested in the Met Gala as I used to be. So I forgot it happened until I saw the pictures going. I was like, oh, right. Okay.
Right. That's okay. A thing. Yeah.
And then, I don't know who the audience is exactly.
Yeah. That's a good point. Again, like, I love museums. And the first thing I did was I had not really known much about this event. And so I was like, all right, what are they raising money for? You know what I mean? Because if they're raising money for like literacy, or they're raising money to combat disease or something, then I'm the one being an asshole. Right. So I had to check that real quick. And it's fundraising for the Costume Institute of the Met. Anyway, I shouldn't yuck somebody's yum. You know what I mean?
And fashion is important and cool and like a totally valid art form. And I think like historic fashions are very interesting.
They got like 7 centuries worth in their collection. So I think it's a repository of some amazing human feats, which is why I had a second answer for overrated. And I'm sure it's something that's been on the show before. It's definitely not a hot take. I think monarchies are overrated. Again, I stuck with the M's on the list. Uh-huh. Just like in general, monarchies, I feel like, are overrated. And a lot of folks who live in monarchical societies have very clearly told me that they disagree with that idea. Yeah, because there's this symbolism, you know, and there's this culture, there's this tradition, this defines our, you know, group identity or whatever. But also, I have to point out there are some royals who would tend to agree with that because they left in the case of the UK, right? And they moved to Canada, I think.
And California.
Yeah. And I don't know. You know, maybe one of my friends was telling me I was being a jerk about this because he was like, you know what it is, dude? I think you're just mad that you weren't born into a monarchy. Because then you'd be all about it.
They hate us because they ain't us. That right.
I had a moment during the Trump presidency where I started wondering if monarchies are better because they like separate out the pageantry and like the, like there's something almost like spiritual about like the role of the monarchy and but they're completely powerless, which is like nowadays. Which I think is nice so that you just have bureaucrats who are in the leadership roles and not somebody who like you're trying to ascribe this like religious like aura around, which I think America has the monarchy and the prime minister role kind of combined into a single position in the president. And that's bad for our country. Yeah.
Oh,
but also the monarchy is kind of weird. It's kind of weird.
I mean, look, you're going to get the same problems either way.
That's true.
At the end of the day, no matter who you think's in power, there's plenty of information out there to tell you who's really in power. And then you go from there because it's,
yes,
it seems like there, no one is like, seems more or less susceptible to this kind of stuff. But I don't know. It's, I don't like, I got a marriage. Yeah, we have, like, ours is the first family, and the, it's just put in, everyone just thinks no one can do wrong there because you're the president. Like, there is this weird default that the president could never do anything wrong when you say things like presidents are most, they're, you know, they're war criminals. If you really look at all on paper, they're committing, like, let's not talk about it.
Not my president.
Yeah.
Well, there's a reason that the U.S. has never agreed to giving the International Criminal Court any sort of jurisdiction and pump the brakes real quick if the conversation ever gets within a mile of that direction. But I, like, I see what you're saying. There's also definitely a valid argument that the U.S. in practice is an aristocracy. It has a lot of aristocratic values, you know, like to your point, Miles, follow the money, define the power, things like that. It goes quickly into some cynical, possibly conspiratorial territory, but that does not make it untrue. And and you know that, Jack, the thing about that powerless, what you say, relatively toothless idea of a monarchy, like a constitutional monarchy or some other kind of caveated monarchy, if I remember the law correctly, in the case of the United Kingdom, the Queen can technically do a lot of stuff, like can make a decree or can change the law, but it's phrased something like, comma, with the understanding that they won't actually do this.
Right.
Which is...
Yeah, I mean, that was the Earl of Mountbatten in The Crown, like the last season of The Crown. There was a like planned coup that they were trying to get like this very popular-ish like lord aristocrat to organize, but they would need the sign off of the Queen, which seems crazy. You're like, if we get the Queen, we're good. So yeah, I mean, it's not perfect, but in practice. What is something you think is underrated, Maggie?
Late night fast food drive-thrus. Mm-hmm. Last night after a show, Danielle Perez and I went trying to find some drive-thru fast food place. And it's like, this world is like opening back up. And like, LA restaurants never did stay open for like super long. So these are kind of important. We went to like two different drive-thrus that were closed. And it's like, excuse me, sir. What? Like, we are in the middle of, we're hungry in a panda. Like, what are y'all doing? Yeah. Like, this is a necessary, I feel like late night fast food drive-thrus are a necessary cog in the late night situation.
Yeah, exactly. This is why these are all essential jobs. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, everything that is like to keep us sustained, give us sustenance, whatever, your grocery store, fast food, things like that. We need that.
Yeah.
We need to exalt these people because at the same time, I there's so many times when you're left with like the only option you do have is possibly some kind of fast food or a gas station, which I've done before. And you don't want to make that 1 a.m. dinner at a gas station.
Yeah.
It's not good.
I mean, sometimes you just like, oh, man, I haven't eaten since lunch and I got to drive back to like wherever I live. Let me just have a little something, a little nosh while I'm driving. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of, you know, keep my wits about me. And so I'm not like, you know, hungry and tired. And it's that kind of thing.
Who came through for you after you did that search?
Jack in the Box came through.
Yeah.
Hey.
Jack in the Box came through. I will say, though, I am mad at Jack in the Box. Let me say this, too. A bunch
Hold on.
Of
Let me give you the floor for this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. A bunch of different fast food eateries have taken away their French fry and a squeezy cheese kind of situation. And that's another underrated thing. Jack in the Box got rid of their potato wedges. Taco Bell keeps fucking around and taking their nacho fries back. And when they bring them back, they bring them back for a little more expensive. And it's not a huge deal, but don't think I didn't notice Taco Bell that that's what y'all are doing. And it's like, cheese fries are so good, clearly. Yeah. So someone needs to have a consistent cheese fry on their menu. That's all I'm saying about it.
Yeah, that's...
That's
everywhere
it, that's
else
all.
You have to go. It's like Shake Shack, but then they're not open late. And that's like, oh, you know, that's like, that's a spend, you know, but you want to have, Because, oh, remember when McDonald's did it for a second, though?
No.
They had cheesy bacon fries. It was like an experimental thing.
Yeah.
And then they took it from us.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I love, that's usually like, that. It's funny that you say that because that's when in my mind I go, oh, I'm not giving a fuck about what I'm eating today. I usually go for some kind of cheese fry conglomeration that is not good for your stomach. But
it doesn't feel like fries. It feels more like, oh, I'm having a meal. There's cheese.
Yeah, because I need a fork.
Yeah. Yeah.
Suddenly the context is different and this might have nutrients.
There's so many.
It's a fork. I mean, shit.
There's so many wild things happening with the supply chain. If anybody knows why the cheesy fries keep going away, let us know. Because, yeah, that's not unacceptable.
We're probably just in a minority, you know, unfortunately. It's probably always money, you know.
Right, right.
But who doesn't like cheesy fries?
Right.
Who's like, oh, yeah, these fries are good enough as is. I'm glad there's no good cheese on them.
Yeah.
Nobody on this podcast, I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got enough of America's problems to deal with in this show, so stay focused.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about some lesser problems.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day. Because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
And we're back, and let's check in with the California recall. The vote is mere days away.
One day, to be exact.
Mere day away, tomorrow. And it, you know, the numbers, the polls, which are absolutely no indication of what's going to happen, but it does affect how people think about what's going to happen seem to suggest Newsom has firmed up his position. But yeah, he's basically just kind of gestured at the GOP and been like, that is what you want.
Yeah, in the beginning, everyone, I remember the first when a lot of the early polling came out, you're like, oh my God, there's a huge enthusiasm gap between Republicans who just want to get one in to try and, you know, oust the governor and replace it with, you know, fucking wannabe fascist Larry Elder. And because of the messaging that's come out, because, you know, they relied on the powers of like Kamala Harris, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren. I think Joe Biden has made an appearance, or at some point, you know, like you have Obama tweeting about this and so many ads, that the gap has begun to tighten. And yeah, like you're saying, his whole thing has nothing to really do about like, yo, look what I did for the state. Because let's be really clear. At the moment, Gavin Newsom hasn't decided where he stands, like on a bill that is trying to restructure warehouse standards that would essentially be, it's very much pointed at Amazon to give people, you know, time to urinate. And he's still kind of like, look, let me consider this. So we kind of know what we get with Gavin Newsom. But in comparison, what he's doing is, hey, look over there. Look at what they're going to do. It's just essentially that if you pick the other guy, it's going to exacerbate coronavirus, the pandemic, because they're going to repeal all of the health and safety measures and just basically be like, yeah, they're going to be like Ron DeSantis or Donald Trump. And that has, I guess, been enough for people to be like, oh, yeah, we don't want that, because he's not talking about his own record at all.
Every politician's dream.
Yeah,
right. Through running against a level of incompetence or a bar that is being lowered so rapidly that all you have to do is stand in front of the soft focus of the nothing you've done and point over there and be like, oh, yeah, that looks pretty bad, huh?
Right.
Right.
Okay, yeah, I know I'm not really being unequivocal about whether I believe workers should have the time to pee, but look at this, though, huh?
But get a load of this guy.
Look at this guy. He ate his mask on the steps of the Capitol. I mean, is this your governor? I don't know. But speaking of that low bar, they're loving it. But more than anything, it seems like the Democratic Party is also really starting to see something that they can run on, which isn't like, hey, remember all that shit we promised you in the presidential election? It's going to be more a midterm thing of like, the pandemic could go fully backwards if you give these people more power, because they're telling you what they want to do, which is like, all bets are off. Let's embrace COVID again because we don't want rules.
Which seems a little bit dangerous because the COVID situation and the national mood with regards to COVID seems to change from day to day. So like that seems like, I don't know. I might just like do the things you promised to do and actually like protect work.
No. Come on.
Who lost their job.
Hush-a-bye. No. We're just going to.
I
assume part of it's because of like ideology and the belief that Democrats are actually meant to impact positive change. But it's sort of odd to me when I think about it that if a Republican runs against the idea of being like, you know, look over there, it could be so much worse. When they don't have a platform or a campaign to run on, and just which is just pointing at something else, it feels like quite a powerful political weapon, and it's useful. When the Democrats do it, you're like, no, you don't get this. Like, you don't get to do this one.
Right.
You have to have ideas.
Right.
Right.
And it's like, I don't know if that's the framework through which you see it as well, but it's sort of I can't quite get my head around it.
Well, it's the, I mean, kind of think about it that way, I feel like allows the Republicans to sort of set the standard of what, like, you know, that you just have to like fight at their level kind of fucks the society. And unfortunately, politicians do have power.
Yeah. They drag you down to the level and then they go, look at you down here in the mud. This is where we live.
Yeah. And this whole thing is, you know, in regards to these stricter rules, Gavin Newsom has been pretty strict comparatively with how he's running California and certain mandates, like, and whether or not they're asking for higher safety standards in schools and things like that have sort of been kind of the front of mind for him. But there's also, you know, McAuliffe in Virginia, he's also been pretty strict. And overall, they've seen that when the governors do that, it pulls even well with like independents. So they're really kind of sort of maneuver drafting behind this sentiment that exists in the country that so many people are like, why are we fucking hand holding people who reject any notion that these vaccines and just basic safety standards are going to help us get out of this pandemic? Like, we need to get we need to sort of side with people who are saying, please, you know, lead us out of here, rather than kind of like holding your hands up and being like, I don't know, this is a local decision. Like, let's see what you can do as a leader. And that's been, I guess they've appreciated that bump in enthusiasm over things like that.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate it. Like, every indication, like, we're about to talk about Biden, like, making mandates kind of the standard. I every indication seems to be that they've got polling that suggests Americans are for majority, like, not the people we're seeing in those school board meetings. But
no, but they're just the loudest. And, you know, a lot of people point to the fact that a lot of that behavior is, you know, whether by design or not, intended to give people this like data to say, like, you're not alone. There's many of us, like, just join this movement, when it's a pretty vocal minority. And then along with the governor election, I think we're also seeing what the Republican strategy is going to be, too, which is, again, just screaming at the top of your lungs, they're going to steal the election, because that's what Larry Elder, who has been the sort of front runner, if the recall goes through, if it gets past 50%, he said, quote, what I believe is that no matter what they do, and I believe that there might very well be shenanigans, as it were, in the 2020 election, no matter what they do, so many Californians are angry about what's going on. And then he said he has a voter integrity board. I don't know what that means. He's like, I have a voter integrity board all set up. Most it's of these people are lawyers. Yeah, it's an ironing board.
Yeah, yeah.
It just checks the integrity of
like all sorts of all sorts of divining rods and stuff.
Right. And they say, so when people hear things, they contact us. We're going to file lawsuits in a timely fashion. Now, that may be tough, just the shenanigans argument, because the number of the number of actual Republicans in the state mathematically sort of makes this a bit difficult. If the turnout is around 55% in the state, then the like for the recall campaign to have to be successful, they would need more people to turn up for the recall as they did for people that voted for Trump in 2020.
Right. So that's good.
Yeah, like we're starting to look at, like, a lot of analysts are looking at the number of ballots that have already come in, and like that it's double for Democrats and things like that, plus what the real number is, like, as they see the projections. What could happen? Again, we could be completely fucking up and they're swearing in fucking Larry Elder at some point.
I mean,
all that to say, if you live in California, please vote. I know it's not perfect, when we all have our misgivings, especially with how this state could be run better.
Yes.
But absolutely, again, we're caught in a fucking stupid binary of, like, you know, Kroger brand Patrick Bateman. Or the fucking radio host who's like, man, slavery was like just such a joke, y'all. And I'm black, so you can take my word for it, white racist people.
Right. That's right. Vote Californians. I live in Auckland, New Zealand. I've been sending them all sorts of fraudulent ballots.
Doing your part.
If I can vote, so too can you.
If I can vote all the way from Auckland, what's your excuse?
And by the way, something we have brought up before, because the way that Newsom and the Democrats have kind of played this is that they tell you to vote no on whether he should be recalled, but then they also tell you not to vote in the second part of the election, which is where you would pick a candidate that would replace him if he were voted out. And we said we didn't know if you vote no, you can still vote for somebody, and you can. So you're first voting no, don't replace him. But if for some reason he does lose that, and just think about every major election and how much the conservative side has overperformed based on the polling, like from Brexit forward. So you have to get out there, you have to vote no. But then, I don't know, vote, like, it does feel like the Democrats should have consolidated behind a single candidate. I think that there's a guy named Dr. Brandon Ross, who's just a doctor. He's not like a politician or anything, but he basically
just
says,
a doctor.
But like, he's not like a
nothing more, nothing less.
He's just like, I ran because it didn't seem like there were any real Democrats who are running. Like the leading Democrat candidate is a YouTube influencer who seems to be like more economically libertarian than anything else. And so I don't know. I'm going Dr. Brandon Ross for the win. Long shot.
You're not going to go for Kevin Pathraff, the YouTube financial advice guy?
No. Doesn't he seem like kind of libertarian?
Dude, the second you're like, I think vaccine mandates decisions should be left to individual businesses and schools. You're like, okay. Bye-bye.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. If you want to like vote as insurance after you vote no, I would go Dr. Brandon Ross because he's like, yeah, we're just going to do the same thing as Newsom did, which is better than all the other alternatives that I've seen.
He's running the best stealth campaign. He's like, I'm a fucking Republican.
Well, that's what I think. I legitimately think that's what's happening with Pathraff, is that he seems like he has Republican policies.
Well, I mean, he's just that thing of, you know, socially accepting-ish, but then there's also a lot of like my business rights type stuff you do. When you're a financial advice guy, you're not really out here advocating for the working poor.
Boys know he should be in charge, don't you?
Who? Who's that?
Well, it's us.
Thank you.
If we were in the driver's... No, it's the three of us. If we were in the driver's seat, we'd iron all these kinks out. No trouble, no worries.
Get this unholy triumvirate into the governor's mansion, please. Vote O'Brien Gray Montgomery.
Iron them out on our election.
OMG.
Wow.
shit. Watch, that could be something in the future where people are like, I don't know, I like this group of three bros rather than one candidate. And we're like, oh, fuck.
And let's talk about Chris Wallace real quick. He interviewed Nebraska Governor Pete Ricketts. Pete Ricketts!
Yep. There he is, Pete.
About, you know, his stance on the vaccine. And he brought up what seems like a pretty straightforward question that I'd assume every single person who has ever questioned vaccine mandates
would ask themselves this.
Yeah, would ask themselves, like, this would be the first thing. Like, what's the difference between this and the other vaccines that aren't mandated already?
Well, this is the common ailment of the modern Republican politician or of this age, which is like having to be so deep in your own self-delusion plus mental gymnastics to try and rationalize how you aren't just a completely just like manifested walking contradiction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he said in before in the top of this interview, he goes like, look, man, I'm not against vaccines. Okay. I've said that they work. I know that they're safe. So, you know, it's just about like kind of, you know, who do people trust? And then that's where Chris Wallace is like, Governor Ricketts, I'm about to put a graphic up. These are all the vaccines that you mandate in the state of Nebraska for someone to go to school. He's like, so pertussis, measles, mumps, rubella, hep B, chickenpox. And he's like, so family, why don't you have the same energy for these vaccines? And this is his answer. And he tries very good to be like, oh, you didn't catch me off guard with this. I'll just give a non-answer.
Are those mandates that parents in your state must comply with and do comply with routinely, why is it that they're not so objectionable and such a violation of personal freedom, but Biden's vaccine mandates are?
Well, for all those that you just listed, there's a long history that parents have had the opportunity to see how those things have been implemented. And there's still a lot of people out there who don't know what to trust. And in fact, this is really an outcome of what the CDC has done, because they flip-flopped on so many issues, whether it's masks or whether you have to mask after you've been vaccinated and so forth. There's just a lot of people out there who don't know who to trust right now. And so by having the government force it on, you're not building the trust where we have the trust with those other vaccines. This is a process that's going to take time to bring people along, and that's why it should be a personal choice and not something mandated by the government.
But
okay, so he goes on, and he'll never give a satisfying answer, because the truth is he's not even sure why they're okay with that one. But he found a clever thing, which was
optics.
And if you're if you truly want to believe this version of the reality you're experiencing, which is the vaccines are bad, that it's like, well, they've been around long enough. It's time. Time is the thing that is, you know, blah, blah, blah. So he's not even saying they're unsafe, right? And he keeps going back to this argument that just people are unsure. They don't know who to trust.
Right.
Okay. Well, what do you do? Because right now the plan seems to be, okay, just let the pandemic rage on. He's like, but also, like, we have to hold hands with the people whose only news source is a Facebook group.
Right.
Like, so, but my question to all of this is, what the fuck is your solution then?
Right.
If you are a fucking leader, I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat, you're a fucking leader.
Right. Yeah.
So fucking come up with a solution. Don't just say, people are just unsure. And?
Yeah.
So? You up top, you said that you believe the vaccine was safe. You believe that it works. Is that true? I'm pretty sure it is on some level because we've seen how.
I know that, but.
Right.
You know, as for these people who I lead for a living for my job, how are they supposed to know that?
Right. And the thing is, I can't offer a solution because then that would solve the problem and we would have nothing to push back against because as a default, the Republicans are now just, we cape for the corporations as much as Democrats, but we do it in a way that's very straightforward and then we'll wrap it in a liberty argument. Mm-hmm. So it gets enough people fired up.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm just like, what? I wish more people would just pivot an interview like that and say, okay, then what's the solution?
Right.
If you're diagnosing all of these reasons why people are, so if you say the CDC, then how would you speak to them? Do you yourself want everyone to be vaccinated? But they'll never say that part. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It always has to be, you know, that's why this thing should be a personal choice. Until right. when?
Mm-hmm. You see, it's never a situation of like, they always put it like, oh, well, people don't know what to believe. The CDC keeps flip-flopping and this and that and that and this. And it's like, no one is... that kind of thing just strokes somebody's God complex of like, if I don't understand it, it's not real and it's not true. There's never a thing of like, yeah, things are going to be different when we find new information. This virus didn't come with a warning label or with a nutritional sticker on it or anything. Like, you're watching science happen. Like, we're going to find new things and we're going to pivot. It's never that messaging. It's always, well, they keep hearing a bunch of different things and they're in two different Facebook groups and they have conflicting information from those. So we just don't know what to believe. And we're going to give parents autonomy, which is a terrifying kind of a thing. Because like, just the argument of like, well, I don't understand it is like, well, you don't understand Cheetos and you still eat them.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, you don't understand a lot. Like, so many people failed math, failed science are like, well, I don't get it, so it's not true. And it's like, you don't get a lot.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's like, I don't understand math. So when I look at my bank account, it says negative something. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means. What is that, math? Well, I don't understand math. So please don't encumber me with your rigid dedication to this thing you call mathematics, please. Yeah. Now give me my $500 I would like right now. I don't know what overdrawn means. I'm not an illustrator. Please. I do not agree with these things. And yeah, that's why I'm just like, I feel like Democrats really just need to be pointing at them if they want as a strategy, like, watch this. They're not going to suggest a fucking thing to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's it. Just so you know, the only solution they have is just to say no to any idea other people have. That's not leading. That's just you're a drunk asshole at a bar who's buttoning on a conversation you had nothing to do with. Like, oh, what do you guys know about house music? I'm like, what the fuck?
Nobody asked you. That's exactly that.
Please get away. But this is the thing. I mean, like, that's why I would just, you'd hope that on some, I don't know. That's, I think, where the real sinister kind of wannabe fascist is going to be able to talk like that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's not just going to be like, oh yeah, well, you know, we can't do that. It's like, no, what we actually need to be doing is this and this and this, that, that and the other. But right now I think it's because everything has been so caught up in this like back and forth culture war nonsense that even something this simple, because Chris Wallace even said, he even tried to present it to Pete Ricketts. It's like, I mean, like, look, if you think about it, this is a vaccine that works. I mean, President Trump had a lot to do with it happening. I mean, like, it started with his administration and it works. It's been tested. What's the problem? And he was still just like, people aren't sure. Well, then as a leader, wouldn't you say, hey, you can trust me? If you said they don't know who to trust, can they trust you?
Right.
And what would you say if they trust you?
That seems like a very obvious follow-up.
Yeah. I don't know. What do I know? What do we know?
I'm just trying to make people feel smart for being stupid. You know?
Yeah. Well, again, it goes back to the thing. We don't, Americans don't know how to check themselves. You know, like, because we have so many people, like, this whole thing is like, I don't know if Joe Biden should have scolded these people. Well, look how many people passed away. Yeah, and think of the people that are, especially, man, frontline healthcare workers, the mental health crisis that they're experiencing from, like, wanting to help people and just seeing ambulance after ambulance or patient after patient of someone who's like, I didn't look after my own health and, like, now I'm in a really bad way. And also, like, give me this medicine that isn't FDA approved and also I won't be vaccinated. But also, please, can I not die? Can I look you in your eyes as I'm dying and say, help me? Like, that shit is
the ones who
traumatic.
Beg for the vaccine on their deathbeds. Like, I've been reading so much where, like, you finally get them to want to do what they should do. And it's like it's so late. Painfully too late that, like, hits you right in the gut. And I unnecessary deaths.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing is that this whole thing was just they thought they could create a sentiment within the country that could just ignore the like massive amount of like preventable death that's occurring. I think that was really their only plan. Like, I don't know, let's just get our heads down and then maybe people will stop caring about it. But this is a problem that's unlike the problems they usually like to get involved in, which would be like fighting wars and shit.
Yeah.
And because this is a completely different one that requires people to actually do what's best for each other, they found themselves completely out of sorts. It's just like, well, fuck it, man. Like, let's hope people aren't getting, can get over the amount of people that are dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's straight up a death cult at this point. The right, a prominent anti-masker and anti-vaxxer who was known for wearing a Zorro mask to Staples passed away over the weekend, Veronica Wolski. And the hospital like had to be evacuated a couple of times because people were phoning in bomb threats and trying because she was being treated with like ivermectin or, you know, whatever the people who, as Miles said, get their news from Facebook groups were telling the doc, demanding the doctors treat her with. So, you know,
they don't know who to trust, but they know what the dosage and treatment ought to be.
Right.
That's right.
Yep.
That's why, I mean, again, like it just, I think it's just revealing so much about the human psyche too, as especially as it relates to Americans. I mean, like so much of this is about unwilling to embrace the unknown.
Yes.
Because for those people, the only control they can exert is to not get vaccinated.
Yes.
After that, I think to them, it's such a dice roll, whether they believe it's a scientific dice roll or maybe they're just full on some other shit and they'll never get it anyway. But there's just, it's like, it's just human nature. We have to know what's going to happen. And when we don't, we get very anxious. That's just our human nature. Like whenever we're in situations where things are uncertain, it can cause a lot of anxiety and stress. And especially as it relates to something like this, that requires people to trust, that it just shows that there's like limits to that. And in this case, people think they're going to, they feel safer by not doing it, even though the results are to the, you know, they're getting the counter result that they thought they would.
And we did have this during the 1911 pandemic. It was less sort of incendiary because there was not social media, but there was a big resistance to getting the vaccine. And they had to go door to door to make sure people got the vaccine. And ultimately, they won that battle. But it remains to be seen whether we will be able to win that battle in a world that does have Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
That really, like, it seems, I feel like it's getting passe and also like it's just boring to keep being like social media is evil. But it really like, I mean, that all these stories that we're talking about, like you keep coming back to the fact that the problem would be solved if there weren't, you know, people lying, passing off lies as facts on social media.
Yeah, well, because Facebook kind of gives people legitimacy in that sense. It's one thing if it's like a back in our day, we remember the early internet where some wacky shit, it was like on a GeoCities website and you looked at it, you're like, this is trash. I can tell by looking at it.
Right.
This is nothing is real on this page. Nothing. But Facebook, I think, lends a certain veneer of like validity to a lot of those things because of the formatting and things like that, that there's like a lot of presentational graphic things that I think are that kind of bolster this shit. And tomorrow, actually, we'll talk about because this article just came out. The Washington Post found out like Facebook has like this whole program where there are like certain users that are they can violate the user guidelines and they'll keep them there because they're prominent profiles.
Right.
So you know, we'll do a little, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But yeah, there's many things that are consciously happening too that kind of keep these, you know, ecosystems humming.
Mm. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian premium cocktail maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
And we're back. I just saw a quote from Governor Newsom's team that says, no scenario we lose. So I can basically take that to mean that they have lost by the time you're listening to this. And apologies to the future. All right. Let's talk really briefly about the latest revelations in this Woodward book, Peril, about the kind of transition from Trump to Biden. One of the revelations is that China was convinced that because Trump was getting belligerent just leading into the election, as he kind of faced the possibility that he might lose, that, you know, the U.S. government was unstable, the transfer of power was up in the air, and he was, you know, starting to talk shit about starting a war with China or Iran, and to the point that one of the generals had to call his Chinese counterpart and say, this is a quote, I want to assure you that the American government is stable and everything is going to be okay. We are not going to attack or conduct any kinetic operations against you. That shit was... So first of all, that's just like what you say. Like, that sounds like a publicist talking about right. A person who has just, like, you know, been checked in somewhere. But that was before the attacks of January 6th. At which point they were certain something bad was going to happen because right. They were witnessing what was clearly an attempted coup to everyone outside of the country. I feel like because we still live in this country with like Fox News and Trump supporters, we're probably like uniquely insulated from the truth of like how dangerous that situation was. But after January 6th, China was freaking the fuck out. And the military had to like actually make changes to delay military exercises. So in this second call to address Chinese fears about the events of January 6th, General Milley promised, "We are 100% steady. Everything's fine. But democracy can be sloppy sometimes."
Oh. Okay.
And that didn't
come
work.
On, you know, it's us.
They were
the
still rattled.
Bunch of rascals. That's us, yeah, you know.
Yeah. He also felt the need after that call to confirm with the people responsible for physically launching nuclear weapons that he had to be involved with the process. Like, he was like, okay, so just so we're clear, let's run it through. He could come in here, start telling you to launch nukes at China, but you have to bring me into the room too. Like, I have to be involved in that conversation. And so, and by the way, this is somebody that was appointed by Trump. So this is not a deep state actor from like the Obama administration. The head of the CIA, also a Trump appointee, was of the opinion that America was on the way to a right-wing coup. So yeah, it was as bad as it looked, basically, is what is what you're hearing. Like, literally, this is a quote. CIA Director Gina Haspel, for instance, reportedly told Milley, quote, "We are on the way to a right-wing coup." So, yeah.
Oh, what do you know, Gina Haspel, you black site operator?
Right.
I know a thing or two about seeing a coup, okay?
Yeah, right. You know, the one thing the that CIA. They do know is this sort of shit.
It's true. Everybody outside of the United States knew that. They agreed, right?
Right.
No one was ever like, nobody was saying, well, you know, democracy can be sloppy sometimes.
They're like, what the fuck is happening over there?
Yeah. And then imagine like all the tense geopolitical shit that's already up in the air, right?
Yeah.
And very, in many cases, very much like just a few bad calls or a few misinterpretations from going very wrong very quickly. You see that and you're like, well, can we, like, I don't think people often understand in the United States that peaceful transfer of power is one of the sort of golden geese of any nation state. And it's not, it feels like it's a sure thing for a lot of people who grew up here because it almost always was, but that never guarantees that it will be the case the next time that power is transferred. And like other countries are very, very familiar with this. And this is like, anytime you hear about an election coming up in any country, you can be 100% certain that the world's intelligence agencies and the big corporations are keeping a close eye on it. Because if shit's gonna go wrong, that's when it's most likely to happen. And like, I agree with you. I think people don't know just how dangerous, or maybe don't want to admit just how dangerous, how close this was. I mean, is it like Cuban Missile Crisis level close? I don't think that's hyperbolic to say.
Yeah, that's what Evans always says when he went over to Kiev to, like, after that, the Ukraine capital, like, kind of devolved into a civil war. Like, the thing he kept hearing was people being like, I can't believe it happened here. We never thought it could happen here. And it's just when it's another country, it's just like, yeah, that's what happens in other countries because that's the international news that we get. But when it's your country, you're like, well, I have a wealth of experience that tells me that our country does not devolve into a coup. And I also, it's now part of a political like discourse as to whether that was even what I saw. So it just like kinda... Also, and this is going to surprise you guys, it turns out Mike Pence is a spineless weasel. He was definitely considering overturning, upending the election certification. He even spoke to, and this is terrifying, that the fate of our country was in these two guys' hands. He had a conversation with Vice President Dan Quayle, who oversaw the certification of the 92 election, in which he was on the losing ticket, and appeared in that conversation open to going along with Trump's plan pushed the false claim that Arizona's voting systems or voting results were wrong, and asked whether there was any way he could delay certification. So it was on the fucking table. Things almost went as bad as we had feared they could go.
And Dan Quayle is still alive.
Yeah, still out here doing it.
I didn't know that.
From that, let's talk Rudy Giuliani.
Mark Milley also makes an appearance in this one, actually.
Yeah. Look at that. Two for two.
Yeah. He's like, I mean, he had a great evening on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. He went to Cipriani, you know, a nice dinner.
It's his Christmas, you know?
He got Christmas, he has 9/11. Drunk, I think we've ever seen him. You know, he's had some remarkable appearances on Fox where he was a little bit, animated. A little sloppy with his pronunciation, but this is clearly something else. So something that was just on such a level that he had to do an interview with the Daily Mail the next day to like clear up what
like immediately after. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's check out the thing that really caught a lot of people in the UK's attention when he was talking about, you know, kind of his interaction with Queen Elizabeth when he was given an honor after 9/11.
She said, you did a wonderful job on September 11th. And therefore, I'm making you an honorary knight, commander of the Royal something or other. I turned down a knighthood because if you took a knighthood, you had to lose your citizenship. I know Prince Andrew is very questionable now. I never went out with him. Ever. Never had a drink with him. Never was with a woman or a young girl with him. Ever. One time I met him in my office, and one time when we had the party, right, Bernie? You were there.
Okay. Wow. I never had a drink with him.
He did a voice.
Oh, yeah.
He later, this is his fucking interview that he said. He defended that the Queen Elizabeth thing. He was just saying, like, he's like, I wasn't mocking the queen. Okay, first of all, it was, quote, an interpretation that's totally unfair. I use an English accent. And he goes on to say, and I have never mocked it. I imitate Churchill sometimes.
He's, you know, he's like, I have a sick English accent. Like, sue me. I am hilarious when I do an English accent. That his English accent sounds like he's got, like shit in his mouth, like it sounds like that.
I mean, the way he kicked that off was a little, look, 2 out of 10 on the attempt, Rudy. Sorry.
Right.
And he wanted to clarify he was not drunk. OK, he said, quote, I am not a drunk. I don't think I've ever been publicly drunk in my life. The last time I was probably in college. I like to drink scotch and have cigars. That's where it probably comes from. I drink moderate amounts of scotch. I mostly drink scotch because I like to have it with cigars. I didn't have a cigar last night. And this is a caricature that the left is trying to put on me. I can't remember the last time I was drunk. I'm not just going to put up with it anymore. I've got to do something about it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It sounds like halfway through saying that denial, he started thinking about scotch.
Right.
And just like imagining scotch.
Right.
Just moderate amounts of scotch. I love scotch, especially from the Highlands. You know, there's nothing like it. Just
like
at 6 p.m.
Night peat. Nice peat to it, you know.
And he continued the theatrics, the tirade, the slam dunking upon of people. But this time, I don't even know where this one is exactly going. This one, he clearly has bad feelings about General Mark Milley, who we were just talking about. And likes to call him Miley, okay? Because that's how he emasculates him, I guess.
Miley? How's that guy a general? Jesus. The other day, he said that the Bagram Air Force Base is not strategically important. I wanted to grab his, what do you have, 5 stars, 10 stars, 12 stars? He has so many stars that come in him into his ears. I wanted to grab his stars, shove it down his throat, and say, it's 400 miles from China, asshole! China is going to be our enemy for the next 40 years. You have an air base 400 miles from them, and you're giving it up, idiot! Right. What the hell is wrong with you? Who paid you?
Donald Trump?
Wow.
But
people, like, you can also just feel the crowd is like scared a little bit.
Yeah. Because like, it's about 9/11 and he's like, who paid you, you asshole?
I totally forgot that was supposed to be about 9/11. Sorry. The Prince Andrew thing was like, but that performance that we just heard, wonderful. But the Prince Andrew thing was, why do we think he started talking about Prince Andrew? Has he been alleged to be involved in the Prince Andrew stuff?
I think it's at some level, or maybe he's just trying to get in front of it, like you guys said with Elder. But Prince Andrew is currently embroiled in the ongoing legal dispute, right? Of whether he actually got served those papers. So it might be
maybe because him and Dershowitz team up so much.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
like
that's
that.
A good
there's
call.
There's connective tissue. And it's he's been photographed with Prince Andrew before.
Yeah. It's him. Just such a like guilty dog barking first kind of cliche.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like if you meet somebody and the first thing they say is like, look, you can sometimes helicopters go missing. And that's the first thing they say. You're like, what the fuck is up with you and helicopters, bro?
I never ask about that.
Yeah.
It's just something about the also just like his delivery of it, too. Like he's saying it like it's a like it clearly made the room feel weird, too, because everyone's like, yeah, Prince Andrew was like an alleged like sex criminal.
Yeah.
And he's like, I never party with him. Right. Come on, folks. Hey,
okay.
Hey,
just Prince, that once you were there.
Right.
Bernie.
And then they thought everybody's like, yeah, Rudy, like you're, that's a grim topic. So is 9/11. And you're still up here. Just off your face. Meanwhile, saying that he's not a functioning alcoholic, he's just functioning.
Yeah,
Was another interesting quote from that.
Yeah,
okay.
He said, "I'm not a functional. I'm not an alcoholic." He like stopped himself from saying, "I'm a functional alcoholic."
And Churchill also famously soused. Throughout much of World War II.
Yeah, he made it look better, though. The difference between Rudy and Churchill is Churchill makes us look good. real briefly, they're doing an apprentice for activism. It's called The Activist.
God. I don't know, basically?
Yeah. The contestants will engage in missions, media stunts, digital campaigns, and community events aimed at garnering the attention of the world's most powerful decision makers.
And what, who decides who's sexy enough to stay this week?
Usher.
Yes. Okay. Noted activist.
Usher and Priyanka, I think.
Chopra? Priyanka Chopra Jonas?
Yes. Priyanka Chopra Jonas and one other person whose name I'm not familiar with. It's just so...
Predictable, really.
It's predictable. It's highlighting the like most cynical, bloodless version interpretation of the word activism, like at a time when we need when there's like real energy and we need people to think of activism as something that's like approachable and can affect real change. And they're going the route of like, well, you go with a think tank and then you like influence the board of like BP to like invest in your fucking product. And it's just like, I just hopefully nobody who's interested in activism will watch this. Hopefully nobody will watch this, but especially nobody who's like, if a young person who's interested in activism watches this, they're going to be like, oh fuck. Like what?
Right.
That's what activism means.
Like water is important to me. And that's why I'm here to talk with the Rand Corporation, the good folks at Nestle and our friends at McKinsey. That's where activism starts.
Yes.
Jesus.
Tell us about your ideas. Oh, and we'd love to have you sit down with the folks at General Electric to talk about your anti-war platform.
Yes.
They would love to hear about it. They are so excited to speak
They're
with you.
They're just like shooting guns off. Right.
Yeah, this totally has that energy of like what happens in boardrooms when like there are real stakes but they're just like, let's make this a weird product that has nothing to do with what it is because we don't even understand the importance of activism from our perspective because nothing needs to change based on how we live. So this would be a fun little show, right? Like you get all the people like who can make the best sign at a protest, like with only two colors.
No.
You know
those
what I mean?
Those kind of like contests. Yeah.
It's going to be graded on poster design.
I mean, and I don't know, like, if they're how they honor like the actual spirit of activism through a show like this. You know, if you're if it's really that important, like you'll identify people to get behind and back them rather than like fight it out for who's the hottest activist this
right week. Like who, like, okay, one city, three protests, who can get the most people? Right. Everybody pull your, you're gonna pull your protest at random from this, you know, this helmet, and right. This helmet that was in Portland, and your protest is going to be announced by this week's celebrity, Carrot Top, Top, or whatever, you know? That's
this is some Kendall Jenner Pepsi commercial ass.
Yes, I was thinking like, the same, dude.
Version of activism.
And no hate to Carrot Top. Comedy is hard. He's doing shows every day at Vegas.
Oh, yeah. And his biceps are harder.
And his biceps
comedy's hard.
That dude's
my
lifting.
Biceps are harder.
He will whip the shit out of me. If he feels disrespected.
Big guy, so. That Carrot Top, you should see him. He's got biceps big. Like Christmas
he's big,
hands.
Folks. He's big.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.